Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy Solomon coming to you today from the San Francisco Bay Area on Monday, July 16th, 2012, if you're in the States on this side of the world. I am here today with the Global Product Management Talk, which is curated for passionate product professionals and business owners who want to teach, learn, and network about what it takes to produce successful products. Everyone is invited to participate on Twitter, including agile practitioners, user experience designers, content and community managers, product marketing, brand management, program managers, and project managers, as well as all those involved with developing, designing, and launching products, innovation, and startups throughout the entire product lifecycle process to guarantee successful products and companies. We are a weekly mini product camp Socratic discussion with live audio of thought leader and co-host commenting on Twitter for product managers and product professionals that don't get a chance to leave their desk and participate in product talks in person. So we come to you with podcast and Twitter. Today, I am delighted to welcome Håkan Killick, Senior Product Manager, and our co-host, Greg Girasi. I want to thank our sponsor, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management, which promotes worldwide excellence in product management education and provides value to individual members, corporate members, and sponsors by providing training, education, certification, and professional networking opportunities. Please visit our sponsor at www.aipmm.com. If you are following us on Twitter, use the hashtag #ProdMGMTTALK. And that is where you can see the questions we'll be discussing, you can respond to the questions, and you can also view the background information and links that may be mentioned, as well as a follow-up. After the talk, there will be a podcast available on iTunes and on mobile apps, including our own Android app. And you can check our website at prodmgmttalk.com for all the other information we're going to talk about. Today we're talking about centralized versus decentralized product management. How do we better align our product teams with our business and development units to drive growth? It's a tough challenge and one that executives try to address by deciding on whether the product management team reports to an enterprise management team or an individual general manager or business unit leader. On one hand, you can drive a corporate-wide strategy and optimize development investments across your entire portfolio, and on the other hand, you can get deep vertical expertise to drive change that really moves the needle for a specific business. Our speaker today is Håkan Killick. He's a seasoned product management expert. A little about him, he owns the entire platform portfolio at RadioPoint. Previously, he was director of product marketing at Rymer Technology. His expertise includes product and project management processes, implementation and best practices, focus on delivery of products that actually meet market and customer needs, successful product development and launch, and ownership of the P&L. Prior to Rymer, Håkan worked in the telecommunications, voice recognition, biometrics, and process improvement industry. With over 10 years of experience with high-tech companies such as Ericsson, ScanSoft, and Nuance Communications, he's managed several multi-million dollar product lines, contributed to the W3C Standards Committee around voice XML, and is an active community member and contributor of product management best practices. And our co-host, Greg Girasi, is the president of Actuation Consulting, a world-class provider of product management advisory services and training courses to some of the nation's most well-known organizations. Actuation Consulting provides popular training courses for product managers and product. Greg is the author of the global bestseller, Take Charge Product Management, and the editor-in-chief of the Guide to the Product Management and Marketing Body of Knowledge, the ProdBoss, which is being developed by the AIPMM. And his team recently published the groundbreaking 2012 study of product team performance results white paper. You can visit him at actuationconsulting.com. So welcome, Håkan, and welcome, Greg. Is there anything I missed in that intro?
No, it's quite comprehensive, Cindy. It's nice to be here.
Thank you, Cindy. This is Håkan again. Nice to be here and be part of the Global Product Management Talk.
Great. And give us some background on what is meant by centralized versus decentralized product management.
Sure, absolutely, Cindy. And, you know, thank you all for joining me today on the Global Management Talk. I'm very happy to be here and talk a little bit about this topic. It's something that I've dealt with for a number of years, and, you know, I just wanted to share some of the experiences I had with the concept. So let's just first define what is centralized product management versus the decentralized product management. Anytime you're in an organization that the product team, so it's usually your product manager, product marketing person, whatever the title may be, when that person rolls up into a product management organization that has direct reporting up into the executive team, that's what I refer to more as centralized product management. So it's a team made up of product managers working with, you know, senior directors all the way up to vice presidents. And this team is working within the context of product management across the organization. This is a little bit different than decentralized product management. So decentralized product management is when the product manager, he or she, reports into more of a business or functional group. So I also consider if a product manager is reporting into an engineering team, or if they're reporting into a marketing team that has many different components, let's say a marketing team that does MarCom, et cetera. I consider that decentralized as well. And, of course, the classical example where a product manager will report into a business line, so a GM, a president of division, someone who has P&L responsibility. And the reason I separate those two out is that you end up with very different types of structures, different types of capabilities. So it also aligns with different goals and objectives that the company has. So a little bit of a definition of what I mean when I say centralized or decentralized product management.
Hey, Håkan. Greg here. I have a question for you. Does company size factor into how product management is organized? And does one approach work better than others at the various stages of growth? What are your thoughts on that?
What usually happens, what I've seen, and I'll give you a little bit of context of where my examples or experience come in from. So I've been in product management for about 10 years now. I started, like many people, in the development side. So I was more of a technical product manager for the first number of years of my career. And then I also worked at Rima, which was a technology and consulting company that actually sold solutions to product management. So a lot of my examples are actually with literally, and I've been fortunate to talk to thousands of product managers for the last 4 years in that organization. So what I've seen is that when a company is small or medium-sized, including sort of the startup, is that you have a very decentralized type of structure. So the product manager, he is trying to, you know, drive some of the product initiatives. It's a very senior role. You're actually relying on that person. It could be actually, you know, your third, fourth hire in the startup stage. Or in the kind of the medium-sized business, it's more centralized because you're still trying to prove the business model. So you need someone who is very close to the revenue and cash flows of the company, understands that side of things, and unfortunately that's not something that you can give to a junior person. I have seen some examples where product management is not really product management. It's more of a technical lead or a very senior engineering resource, and that happens in small companies all the time. But that's not necessarily the full scope of a product manager. Now, in the larger organizations, you'll probably see more of the centralized approach where you'll have a VP product manager that could be by division. Some divisions are like small companies themselves within a big company. And that's because you'll want to have some of that process. I'll go in a little more details of that afterwards. But going to the question on, you know, what's appropriate for some of the stages of growth. So picture, you're trying to validate your business model. You're trying to get those deals that are going to fund investor confidence to get that next round of funding. You're a startup that has probably a technical co-founder, maybe if you're lucky a sales and business co-founder, although I find those are usually brought in afterwards once there's a great idea, and you're really focused on having someone senior to drive the initiatives. Well, unless you're hiring an engineering manager, which is a little bit different, they're really going to be focused on managing your R&D resources, you're going to go after a product manager type person, and that's going to be very decentralized. But again, the size of the company, it's almost a misnomer to call it decentralized because it's really, you know, not a large enough size. You really have a senior person kind of driving things. As you grow, you're going to have see two things happen. One, you're either going to be becoming more productized and you're going to be going after that license revenue and software, and then you're really going to want to focus on how to make sure that the entire company is treating product management properly across the board. Or two, you're going to start doing some very verticalization, or you're going to have some product portfolios that might be split out. But depending on how you manage that, you, again, may want to have that decentralized approach to be very close to the market demands, et cetera. Now, I'm not saying centralized product management isn't market-driven, but their mandate is to have a common product management process versus decentralized, where you're going to have something very specific, very tailored, and the only reason you're doing that is because you think that will be more efficient for that specific product line. At least those are the examples I've seen in the companies I've been working with.
Sure. Great explanation, Hawken. So in your opinion, then, what are the factors that lead to an organization initially selecting one approach over the other? Is it a conscious decision, or does it just happen organically, Hawken?
You know, I wish it was planned more often than it was, but it really does happen organically, and I think people don't even realize or don't even have a term for it. I've never actually heard someone call it, you know, centralized or decentralized product management. Usually what they're saying is, you know, that we have a VP product management, and, you know, that's really centralized product management. But how they end up in that situation, it's almost because of the approach of the company. So think about an organization that you're working for. So some people listening to this afterwards or right now on the Twitter sphere, they might be thinking about their organization. How is that company growing? How are they generating revenues? How are they selling their products, the channels, etc.? So depending on the type of business model you're in, sometimes you have a supply chain to worry about. Sometimes you have a channel partnership to grow with. And you need to have those skill sets available. You hire a partner manager. You have a manufacturing, a supply chain expert that is really going to be more your product manager. And they grow into these roles, and at one point, every company thinks about, how do we do productization, right? Am I going to sell licenses, or am I a services and solutions company? And at that point, there's going to be a big struggle. I'll give you one example. When I was working in a company a few years ago, this was actually before Rima, and their big question was, are we a software company? Or are we a services company? And the reason is, and they've actually gone back and forth between centralized and decentralized, is that they wanted to increase revenues. They wanted to have high-margin software products. You're looking at, you know, 80, 90% margins. And they wanted to drive that type of activity. And what they did was they created a centralized approach to that. And it was a conscious decision. But if you think of how they got there, it was very organic. They had some M&A. So product managers had their own culture, processes, et cetera. So it was very decentralized. It was working well. They didn't want to derail that. And they kept it that way. But then they realized that there was too much ad hoc steps going on in their delivery and their go-to-market. And then they tried to bring it together. So I think everyone makes the conscious decision at one point. If you haven't done that at your company already, you will. But how you usually get to that place is really based on your business model, depending on how you sell and how you got to there. If you're sales-driven, you're looking for that, close that deal, it's not a bad thing. I think people who think that a sales-driven organization is doomed to fail are wrong, because sales-driven allows you to close those deals, get that those beta customers, etc. Now, to stay sales-driven forever, I think, is actually going to lead to a lot of problems, but to be at one point in your stage to be sales-driven, absolutely fine. Now, a lot of times that would be more decentralized just because of the nature of being close to sales. Your product manager is almost like your salesperson in some senses, you know, doing a lot of in-depth demos. So, again, like to your question, Greg, I think it is a conscious decision at a certain tipping point, but everybody gets there with some predefined structure already kind of in place before they get to that tipping point.
Hawken, as I think about product management, sort of one tree that's got two branches, mm-hmm. and as I sort of think through what it is that you're laying out in terms of centralized and decentralized approaches, I was sort of struck by the fact that on one branch of the tree of technology and services companies, where typically product managers manage more through influence and through shared organizational goals, and then on the other side, you've got consumer products companies where you might have brand managers or product managers that have full P&L responsibility. Do you also sort of see those two branches of the tree? And do you, based on your experience, when you look on either side of the tree, do they follow a particular approach? Is consumer products different from the services and technology side of the equation? What do you think?
I do see some similarities, and it's an excellent point, Greg, because a lot of times, let's say you're doing consumer goods or like the CPG industries, a lot of times there, you'll have that division between brand management, you'll have other types of departments helping you, so program management will come into play, you might have corporate program office, or you might have corporate product management, but then you'll actually have these other decentralized organizations underneath the hood. Usually it's because they're so big. Try to keep it to the medium-sized example. Not everyone is a Procter & Gamble out there, etc. But a lot of times the consumer packaged goods will have more focus and have a little more decentralized product managers, but they usually call it something different. It could be a brand manager. Could it be a product strategist, they'll call it, because they want to have that deep industry knowledge for that consumer good. On the other hand, though, you'll have these corporate-wide activities, so analysts, people who are doing a lot of the regression for sales and commercial analytics that they're going to be doing across any type of product, and those are going to be some more specialized areas. So, yes, definitely see on the consumer side a lot more of the decentralized specialization, but then you have this kind of global umbrella on top of that. And then, depending on the other types of products, services company, consulting companies. Think about Bain, McKinsey, Accenture, all these consulting companies. They do have the concept of product management, but it's very, very different. And very rarely will you actually have a title like product manager, at least that I've seen. I mean, there's always exception. So in those cases there, you're not going to have centralization as much because there's going to be a function around kind of corporate marketing, looking at the needs, et cetera, but it's very services driven. It's very following the customer versus leading the customer with some product offerings and then packaging that you can actually kind of bring to the market.
Hey, Hawken, you raised the point about globalization for a second. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be interesting to dive into that a little bit more.
Sure.
Let me ask you a question about that. So I'm assuming as you look at smaller, mid-sized companies typically operating at a national level, that the way that they're structured, either centralized or decentralized, is going to be different than that of a global organization that may be operating in a variety of different countries. What's the model that you see most global companies attempting to exercise? Is there one or the other, or is it a mix?
Sure. So, I mean, the world is flat, and there's a great book by the same title. I suggest everyone, take that as a good reading material, because, I own the book. It's great. And the reason I mention it is because today, the ability to collaborate is never been easier. You have everything from, today's chat, audio, video conferencing, travel. All of that allows a lot of collaboration to go on. Now, saying that, what I've seen in practice is that a lot of people have appreciated the cultural differences, the market differences for different geos. And what you'll see is actually one example is consumer electronics, where the products had to be customized very differently for different geos. There's one example where the interface, if it displayed the name of a specific file right onto the screen there, it was expected, and if it wasn't there indicating which song was playing, it was actually a bug, an error. And this is something that, the device is broken, and you got to get that fixed, versus other markets where that's not necessarily a feature that was mandatory, wasn't expected, it was just fine. So they had product management teams that were focused on the product lines, so you have a bit of decentralization there. But what happened was that these would all roll up as dotted lines. So they didn't have a direct reporting. They would have a dotted line into the local regional GMs that were responsible to make sure that any of these products acted the way that was expected within those specific geographies. And that was very important because you have a lot of different influences, a lot of different flavors. You have to be very aware of the markets you're trying to sell into. And to have one product manager, maybe starting from North America, I'm just going to use those examples, or even Europe, and have those completely understand all the other flavors and differences across different geographies is very hard. Typically, you always see a situation where, well, 80% of our revenue is North America, but growth is very low. Let's go into emerging markets. Growth is very high. And then focus on a couple of them. But to really do that well, you're going to want to have some decentralization where you're going to have a team in these regions that's really responsible for owning the product. And then you have some support, as they say, from head office for some global corporate strategy. So if I was at a small startup, actually, well, I shouldn't say startup, it was about 15 people. And they were looking, you know, they're online, so it was a national sales channel, and they were able to sell the product pretty much anywhere in North America, anywhere in the world, but they found very quickly that they needed to have some level of positioning, some person that was responsible for these regions. Now, in their case, they didn't call that person a product manager, but if you look at what she was actually doing, it was pretty much product management in that area. So understanding the market, getting market demands, understanding the problems, and also understanding how the feature set would satisfy those demands very specific to those geographies.
Great explanation, Hawken. Let me ask you a question then. What do you think the triggers are that cause a company to switch from centralized or decentralized product management or vice versa? Are there specific events that make an executive want to change the way the organization's product management function is structured?
You know, it's very interesting. I've always been kind of intrigued by the psychology of product management, if you think about it. Don't want to go too high level, but basically what gives the culture of the product management team compared to other companies and how they kind of build into it. And if you think about the triggers, the changes, et cetera, do two things. Go to a company, any company that you're interested, go on LinkedIn and look at what is the work history of your VP of marketing, what is the work history of your VP of engineering, and what's your work history of your CEO. Now, if you have a CTO or CMO, sure, just use those. And think about your division. So maybe if you're in a multi-billion dollar company, you're not looking at the executive team because they probably have a multidisciplinary background. Look at your division. Based on that, that's going to drive a lot of the culture and the processes of your organization. So if your VP of product management had a lot of marketing backgrounds, you see that they did a lot of background in kind of go-to-market, messaging, positioning, more of the product marketing aspects, but their title is product management. They're going to keep that type of mentality and culture, and a lot of times the trigger is a new VP or a new type of executive. So just to the fact that you're changing executives, you'll trigger this type of centralization or decentralization question, and a lot of times they'll do it just because of the change in the culture. So if I'm engineering-driven, I'm going to want to have, in some examples, a little bit more control that my product engineering resources, which are a huge amount of your headcount and a huge amount of your cost, is being managed cohesively. Now, I want to have a visibility across my entire product portfolio. I want to naturally want more of the centralized product management versus maybe if I'm a VP of marketing background, I want to make sure that I'm very specific and tailored to the products or meeting customer demands, and that's going to push me a little bit more decentralized. Now, that one is a little bit more of a generalism, but in a lot of cases, just a change of the executive. Other things I've seen, one is M&A activity. Anytime you buy a company, you merge, and a lot of companies, I worked at one organization that did maybe 10 M&A activities a year, not more than maybe one major one, but there's a lot of little small ones. Those will always have the discussion going around if you want to centralize, decentralize. I was actually a product manager of a product that was a very packaged offering. It had its own channel. It was designed to be installed quickly. It was software-based mostly. We went as far as even shipping this on computers. We actually preloaded the hardware, sent it out, and then had it going. the culture of the company was very different. They were always struggling between, am I a software company, am I a services company? So the rest of the product managers I was working with, they were looking at core technology, how do we wrap that up in millions of dollars of services and deploy it? The product I was working with was actually an acquisition. So everyone I was working with was always complaining about centralized product management. They wanted decentralized because they wanted more focus. In this case, the package application would have been more beneficial to have a decentralized product manager because then I can own that and drive those decisions that were different than some of the other needs, which were actually competing needs of the other product managers. They want to have more core technology, longer deployments to do more types of automation versus what I was trying to do. I was trying to do volume. I wanted to sell hundreds of units versus one a year. So it's a very different type of thing, and M&A is definitely a trigger for these types of conversations. The third trigger that I would mention, and it's a little bit of a different trigger because you don't always necessarily think about this trigger, is understanding your exit strategy. So a lot of companies, they'll go up to $10, $15, $20 million, and then think about always what their exit is. Do they want to go IPO? Do they want to get bought out? You know, what's their 3 to 5 year exit plan, et cetera? The exit strategy will actually sometimes do a trigger because they want to do recurring revenue. I was working with this one organization that wanted to go SaaS. They realized that this recurring revenue was a key aspect for them, provided significantly higher evaluations. I mean, think about a recurring SaaS revenue company of $5 million. They probably get, you know, 6 or 7 times that for evaluation if they're lucky, because it's, you know, it's very consistent. It's gonna be there next year. It's very easy to predict revenue projections, etc. You know, usually between 5 and 7. In that case, there the exit strategy or shift in the strategy actually triggered a discussion around centralized or decentralized product management. And the reason again there was something fundamental like SaaS coming into the market. How do we get evaluated? And the reason is because they felt that centralized product management would provide the consistency across the product platform to make a SaaS offering. So that allowed them to focus on the processes and use the product management team as a whole, and they did not want to have one particular product offering that was on this platform to be more focused than anything else. They really wanted to have the core platform side of things, and that's why they went to a more centralized product management organization.
Hmm. So it sounds like change of executives, change of control, challenges in either the market or potentially financial troubles of the company all can be triggers for reevaluating sort of the organizational structure. Do I have it right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the one thing I would say is I rarely see anyone arbitrarily decide to change. This is really a core function of your organization, or at least it should be. And if your product management team has the experience there, they definitely are doing that type of value add, then you're not going to go and mix that up without really significant triggers. So, you know, like you said, the ones that you just mentioned, Greg, unless it's something like that, you're not going to reevaluate that structure. And if you see a company that's thinking about doing that change and you think it's because of the product managers or you think of because it's, you know, of one VP, et cetera, it's probably not. It's probably a higher level business driver or market driver, it could be external, of course, that is really going to be forcing the issue because it's such a fundamental change. I've seen companies try to go back and forth every couple of years, and it really decelerates certain aspects. Some people win, some people lose every time you change, and you're not going to want to do that too often. You're going to do it when it's right, and you have to make the change. But arbitrarily, you know, very few companies will do that successfully.
Hawken, you know, a question comes to mind as we're talking about this. And, you know, do you think, based on your experience, that either the functional or the centralized approach or the decentralized approach leads to more proficient product management? I know it's somewhat of a controversial question, but I'm wondering if one side or the other leads to more proficiency from the product team. Do you have a perspective on that?
It's a tough one because what I've seen mostly happen is if you have a centralized product management team, you're learning from product managers. So you become much more advanced, much more collaborative learning, if you want to say it that way, that you're working with other product managers, they have the same types of problems as you. You have seniority and other people with experience maybe mentoring you if you're just getting into the profession. If you've been there for 10, 15 years, you're probably laying down some of the foundation and processes that are going to be running the entire product management function. So in those cases, you have product managers that are very senior. There is a great environment for learning product management. It's probably the easiest. I'd probably say centralized product management is probably the easiest way to learn product management. Any other way, you're going to learn part of product management. So either you're going to learn the technical side if it's an engineering structure, you're going to learn the business marketing side if it's a marketing structure. But centralized product management is really probably the easiest way to get an overview, complete spectrum learning of product management. And you become very, very proficient at that. The problem I've seen, and I've seen actually a number of examples, this is medium to large. Small, again, would be a little bit different. You end up with product managers that are too into product management. And it's a bit of a weird concept. Think about a product manager that believes that product management is the first and most important aspect of their job. And what happens in those situations is that the product manager knows so much about product management, is become so efficient in product management, they're a little bit disconnected from other areas of the organization. This is where you'll typically see a senior product manager go, sales are nuts, they are always chasing the carrot, and you know, a lot of those complaints. And they'll be able to handle it, but that cynicism kind of comes out. So they think about product management as the end goal instead of a facilitator for all the other departments in the organization. So it's great to learn, but you have to be careful because then it becomes a little bit too insular. The decentralized product management example is harder to learn because you'll be focused on one functional area, you'll be focused on one product, etc., and it's very hard to kind of start that role unless you kind of come up through the ranks, etc. So you'll usually find more senior people in that role, or if it's a junior person, I was actually a junior product manager in a decentralized situation, I was reporting to a VP, but it was around that division or that business unit. So it was almost like it was a centralized within a small, decentralized organization. And it was great for me to learn because I was coming in from a technical product manager's perspective, and I learned a lot about the marketing and sales. In that situation, you become very efficient at marketing your product, at understanding the market needs for that product, and I think the vertical knowledge, it could be, you know, different industry, geo, whatever it may be, is very deep, and you become most efficient in that area. You might not have the best product management processes in place, but the vertical knowledge, the market knowledge outweighs that. And usually what happens is that people will try to implement some cross-product processes and just leave that decentralized in place, because decentralized becomes so specialized and so good at that product line that you don't want to touch it. You're scared of moving it around. You don't know what's going to be the effect on the business. And then you have this cross-product kind of over umbrella. And that's usually where program management will come in or other things. But it's also harder to learn. So if you're just getting into product management, it's a career choice for you, congratulations and sorry all at the same time. You're going to want to, you know, you want to know how to learn. If you're in a decentralized situation, be the owner of that product in the market, but understand that you probably have to go outside or up to learn more about product management. If you're in a centralized product management situation, understand that you'll learn a lot about product management, just don't get disconnected from your product or your market.
All right, Hawken. So let me dig in a little bit more to the benefits then, I guess. I know you've done a really nice job overviewing sort of the benefits, I guess, to some extent of either approach, or at least the strengths of either approach. So let's dig into the benefit side. So if I'm a product manager reporting directly to a general manager or business unit leader, what's it like for me, you know, on a day-to-day basis? And, you know, what are the benefits that I'll accrue from that type of structure?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. And actually, I'm going to do a shameless plug here. I actually have a blog posting on this, so you actually can refer to that afterwards. It's a blog posting called Back to the Product. It's on WordPress, so it's backtotheproduct.wordpress.com. And it actually lists some of these benefits, so I'll give you some examples. Decentralized product management, the life of that type of product manager, it's going to be one of those areas where you actually feel like the CEO of your business, because you're going to have a lot of visibility into the P&L. You're going to understand that commissions and sales costs. You're going to understand the marketing budget. You're going to understand how much you're spending in engineering. Because you're rolling up to that business unit, which has its own probably P&L. So you're going to have more visibility to that than if you're in a centralized situation. You're going to have a lot of knowledge about your products and your markets for those product lines. You're going to have a lot of understanding around how they all work together to deliver that product specifically for that business unit. A lot more ownership. I find that centralized product managers, when I talk to them, they feel that they're more empowered from a business and marketing perspective than the centralized situation, because they're surrounded by peers who have the same problem as them. How do we get this product most successful, grow revenues, you know, whatever their individual targets are, and they're working with their peer in engineering, they're working with their peer in marketing, they're working with their peer in support, services, etc. So you become much more kind of accountable for your products. You understand kind of the business side much faster. And I'm not saying centralized product managers don't feel that, but it tends to naturally be the first few things that a decentralized product manager will feel. And also, I've seen that you tend to get superior designs. And what that means is the decentralized product manager is so aware of their market, so aware of the other areas of their team, so sales, marketing, support, etc., is that they don't focus, they'll actually say, let's invest in building our own search engine, because even though it's going to be 85% the same across all our products in the entire company, I don't care, because I want to make sure that 15% is completely going to blow our competitors out of the water. And what they end up doing is they'll add a lot more specific things to that, let's say, search engine, that will make it completely differentiator for them. Versus if you're in more of a centralized situation, you're thinking about, oh my God, it's 85% the same. Why on earth am I going to build this, you know, four or five times? You know, it's a different mentality. I can't say which one is wrong, though, because if I wanted to grow revenue for this product, I'm going to make very sure that everything I put in that product is going to, you know, be the wow factor. If you talk to a salesperson, it's all about the wow factor. And unless that has that, you're not going to be able to reach your individual targets. Versus if I'm more of a centralized product manager, you know, I'm hearing from above, how do I, you know, reduce duplication? How do I get out of that situation where I'm recoding or solving this problem, you know, multiple ways? That is beneficial, and you should try to do those types of areas, but you shouldn't give up the wow factor just to save costs. I mean, unless that's a mandate for you as a company, you cannot give up that wow factor in your product just so that, you know, we just don't build it twice, which is sometimes the wrong way to go.
So, Håkan, what are the, you know, we've talked about the benefits of reporting into a functional leader from the standpoint of sort of getting a more of a panoramic view of, I guess, the product management profession, sort of being, having an elder or a mentor who can sort of, you know, coach you through some of the difficult challenges you'll face as a either early or middle stage product manager. What other benefits are there in that reporting structure that perhaps we haven't covered yet?
Sure. And I think actually you made a great point. The mentorship, you know, we talked about learning from your peers and the team. Mentorship is really effective. You know, I wouldn't be the product manager I am today if I didn't have some really key mentors over my career. And they were all, you know, they were different. They had different backgrounds. I learned something new. I'm always looking to see what I can learn new from. And that mentorship is really a key benefit, right? You're going to have people in product manager. They're going to be able to bring you up. You'll be much more experienced in product management in that kind of centralized a structure, and you can find out these mentors, and you can also have other types of mentors outside of product management. Now, some of the other things around centralized product management that we didn't talk about too much, but are easier, or you do end up having those types of things happen more often, you're more aligned with corporate strategy, because corporate strategy, by nature of its definition, is cross-product, cross-business unit, because it touches the entire corporate organization. So very easy to align with that. You'll have access, and this is actually something we haven't mentioned, you'll probably have access to senior executives at the corporate level easier in a centralized product management position. I'll explain why. I was working with one company, and their budgeting approval process was very waterfall, so I guess that's not very popular these days, but some companies still do it. And they're trying to be more agile, and really agile is just more of an iterative development process. So their budget process was once a year, getting approval for 12 to, let's say, 18 months of development efforts. And you would go up in front of the CEO, you would go up in front of the VP of engineering, the VP of marketing, and this is for the entire company. And this is a multi-billion-dollar company. So the entire, like, it was actually not VP, it was CMO and COO. And this process gave the product manager, so just, you know, some person with 5 years of product management experience, maybe a little more or less, a presentation in front of these senior executives. So think about Apple, think about Google, think about these companies that allow product managers access to some of these things. In centralized product management, you have more processes that give a venue or give an opportunity for that product manager to get in front of these executives. And that's why that's very easy to align with corporate strategy. You have a lot of the insight coming from that. And if you ever wanted to become a CEO, you're probably going to have to be a part of a centralized product management at least once in your career. And then you're going to, for your own take on it, you're going to see if decentralized or centralized is worth it. But you're probably going to do it once in your career, and you're going to understand what I'm talking about. You have access to those executives, et cetera. Google does a lot of access to executives, but that's the culture, right? That's the culture of when they started, very high-tech software company. So it depends on the culture a little bit, but that centralization does help that. And just kind of finishing on that one, you will identify problems or market demand across multiple products. Sometimes this helps with new product development. Sometimes it hurts it. I've worked with situations where just because we've identified the market problem, no one really knows how to solve it the best because there's no cross-team collaboration to create one team that is accountable for that new product development. So it's much easier to solve these market problems. You have to have some sort of mandate to say, okay, well, where do we solve that? If it touches three business units, which business unit is going to pay to fix this? And that's where a budgeting comes into play, right? Which budget are you using to solve this one problem that all three will deal with? Usually it's going to be some shared budgeting, of course, but it takes a little bit longer just to get there sometimes when you're working in centralized product management. The good part, though, is you identify market problems that touch many areas. Great also example for Common UI. I was working with one organization that really had a hodgepodge collection of products, different interfaces. You end up with really nice, cohesive UIs and pretty much one voice to the customer, one view to the customer. So a lot of times sales has that problem where they don't give one voice to the customer. It's 20 people calling the same account. But from the product manager perspective, centralization does really help with UI. You have access to UI resources. It's common across all your product offerings, or at least the ones that are important to look like the same. And then you have a really nice slick interface at that point.
Hey, Hawken, you mentioned something earlier that clicked with me, and that had to do with career pathing. I think you said earlier that centralized product management teams give product managers perhaps a broader level of engagement with senior executives in the organization. So does that translate into different career pathing opportunities for product managers based upon the type of structure that they're operating in?
I would say yes. I would say absolutely yes. The reason I say that is, I'll give you a couple of examples. If you are in an engineering organization right now, and you're a product manager, and that's where the product management team lives, and you want to get more into the marketing and business side of things, product strategy, commercialization aspects of product management, it's not going to be so easy if you stay within a company that has product management in engineering. And that's going to be more like the decentralized situation. You have to be careful because it's going to be more, you know, grass is greener on the other side sometimes, but other times it's where you're more interested in. It's what you're more talented in, and you're not going to be successful at a company that has a decentralized situation when you don't have access to the other side, right? So my example with engineering, if you're a product management team within engineering and your career path is going to be more technical, and you have to be careful because if you want to be really well balanced, you're going to have a taste of both the engineering and the sales, marketing, business side of things as well. If you're in a centralized product management situation, your career path, you're going to be in product management and you might stay there forever. And that's the other risk, right? Because decentralized product management gives you access to a lot of different characters, a lot of different backgrounds, personalities, competencies. You're going to talk to your president. You're going to work with your GM. You're working with your marketing person, etc. It becomes more well-rounded in some sense, but you can also be trapped within a specific functional team. Like you become much more marketing, you become much more engineering. So you have to be careful. You have access to different functional teams and you learn more from them, so you become more well-rounded, but you have to be careful not to fall into just one of them because maybe you're in an engineering team. If you're in centralized product management, you become very good at product management. You can become a VP of product management, which is the aspiration for many people, but you might stay in product management forever. If you ever wanted to go into sales, I know some of my friends actually, they think they can do sales because they're on the call all the time with the product manager, at the product manager doing the demo, et cetera. The honest truth is if you're in product management for years and years, that does not mean anything, that you can be a salesperson or a marketer or, you know, a services person, whatever it may be. So those are the type of two things I would really recommend for anybody who is looking at a career path, right? In centralized situations, you're going to be able to go up the chain. There's going to be a career path to become a VP product manager because that exists, and that might be great, but you might never leave, which is fine. Some people, that's great. And when I say leave, it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just if you want to leave, then that's the case. In a decentralized situation, you'll have access to many different types of backgrounds, and then you become very well-rounded. But depending on where you actually report into, you may get too specialized. So if you're an engineer and you become that technical product manager that, ooh, we don't really trust to run the business side. Or if you're on the marketing side, oh, he doesn't really understand the product, so I can't really trust his product roadmap. So you have to be careful kind of on both sides. There's definitely paths in both to success.
So, Hawken, I know you recently changed positions and left Rima to take on a different position. Mm-hmm. As you think over your current and past positions, is there a single challenge that comes to mind that could have been overcome by maybe implementing either of these organizational approaches?
Sure. So, you know, there's a couple examples that come to mind when I think about that. One example is a few years ago, actually, when I was managing, as I mentioned, that product line that had a packaged product within a more services plus software-driven company. And if they had just left a decentralized situation where the product manager really owned that product and didn't report into a kind of a corporate product management structure, I think that would have solved a lot of problems on that side because that product would have been more successful in the environment it was in, right? As a package application with all the kind of the needs of that, the channel, the sales, et cetera, the marketing for that. Unfortunately, that was transformed into a more centralized situation. And in that case there, great cohesive approach to things, but you lost a lot of the momentum for that specific needs for that product line. If I think back at some of the current, even where I am today, the company I'm working at understands the need for both the marketing and the engineering side to work very closely together. And actually, they've made sure that that team is one team, even though there's some specialization on both sides on, you know, strategy and some of the internal roadmap aspects. So they have actually consciously, and I think, you know, I've been there only a short time, but it's very clear that they've realized, or not realized, but that tipping point has come where they say making sure that this team is working within a centralized environment is the key thing, because the company I'm working at is doing quite a bit of remote technical support for premium tech support offerings. It requires a very robust platform offering for our customers. It requires cohesive features across the board, and that provides a tremendous amount of value to our customers. So they've made sure to make sure that both the strategy and the engineering teams are working together. Now, my role, of course, is to make sure always that we're making sure that the wow factor doesn't disappear, that the offerings, of course, are going to be meeting market demand, and that we're sharing and communicating. Just because you're in the same team doesn't necessarily mean that you're working together, right, just because you're in the same team. So those are two examples I definitely have seen. It's actually kind of interesting that something as most recent as what I'm working at right now has actually kind of put those things together. And I've seen that throughout my history at Rima, because I would work with many different types of companies that would do exactly the same thing. Should we have this as one structure? There's one organization that spent quite a bit of money just to figure out the organizational structure. I can't tell you how many times we were asked at Rima, what kind of org chart should we have? And, you know, that was something that had nothing to do about software. And the challenges there were, you know, do we have a VP of product management? Do we have specialization and decentralized? It came up all the time. Hard part of that, of course, is, as you can tell from today's talk, it's not a straightforward answer for one case or the other. You have to really understand what's your corporate objective, what's your business objective, and then there is a clear answer after that. But if you don't understand what your objective is, you won't be able to choose either centralization or decentralized product management.
Great answer, Hawken. Hey, speaking on the RIMA subject for a minute, I recently saw that RIMA's software changed hands and that OneDesk, picked up the software. Any thoughts? It must be gratifying from your perspective to see that at least part of RIMA continues to live on.
Definitely. I mean, I love RIMA. I love Feature Plan. I worked there many years, and I love the people I work with. I think it was a great experience. And I think the product management space, I mean, if you look at it, RIMA was all about technology and services for product management. Sorry, I ate my own dog food, if you want to call it that way. And it's very nice to see. I think one of the most interesting things is that there has been really an explosion of tools, everything from Excel macros to bigger systems. There's development tools like Rally and Jira. I'm actually using Jira as a product manager today, but I realize, what the limitations are for there and what it's good at. And it's definitely gratifying to see RIMA live on. I think OneDesk, which is also located in Montreal, which is where RIMA was located, can really take that, and it's going to be interesting to see exactly how they're going to package that with their existing product. I think there's a definitely good fit in many different ways. And, I'm very happy to see that the demand for product management tools is still out there. I think my one comment on everything is less is more, right? Understand that product managers, they have to face things like centralization versus decentralization. They have to face things about, am I a technical person? Am I a marketing person? I have Excel. Do I have to use a development tool like Jira? Or do I go into more specialized tools like Feature Plan was? That's always going to be a struggle, and the market itself is still trying to figure out what product management is, and things like this community event will help. And until that becomes really, really more solidified, there's going to be a lot of opportunities for very specific types of solutions across the entire product management lifecycle.
Do either of the approaches that we've covered in today's conversation increase the likelihood of successful new product development?
I would say decentralized product management usually works well for new product development. I think it's going to be key because you really have to say, look, if we're coming up with a new product, this might not exactly use the same channels. We can't just make it fit within the entire structure that we have right now from a corporate standpoint. You almost have to be like this tiger team. That's a term I think IBM uses or another organization. You have to be able to bring in the right people, bring it all together, eng, dev, exec, product management, and you have to bring it together and you have to go for it. It's very useful for new product development, and a lot of times you'll see even big organizations pull together a SWAT team for that and go for it. So I think that's really key. New product development can happen in centralized situations, but it's usually incremental. I haven't seen huge jumps ahead when it's more centralized, although, of course, someone's going to prove me wrong tomorrow.
Well, I'm sure it probably has a lot to do with the way that the teams are individually structured. Perhaps you pair an entrepreneurial product manager with maybe somebody who's more incrementally focused if the organization has the resources. But yeah, I get your point completely, yeah. Let me ask you a question about lessons learned. We've covered a lot in today's conversation, Hawken. Are there any other lessons that you've learned along the way that we haven't discussed that you think the audience would benefit from?
I think just kind of a closing comment I would have is don't be scared of either organization. Appreciate the fact that they both have flaws, but they are designed for different needs of the organization. As a product manager, starting or many years there, identify if you feel that your company's organization structure matches what they're trying to achieve. If you don't see the alignment, get out, because that's not something you're going to be able to change unless you're being brought in specifically for that. So either as a senior executive, or I mean even a director level, especially at the size of the company, be aware that organizational change takes a long time. So you're going to be in there for several months, if not years. And if it's not changing, it's going to be doomed to failure. If you identify that this strategy requires a certain type of structure to get it done and they are just not aligning to that, that's going to be a very tough situation for you. So, don't be scared of situations, but once you identify that, really take an honest look at, is this the right situation for me? The best success is if you can stay and make changes for the best, because then you'll be a hero, and you'll probably be that VP afterwards. But realize that there's a long road ahead.
Excellent. Well, this has been a great conversation, Hawken. Thank you for sharing your perspective.
Thank you, Greg, and thank you, Cindy, and the Global Product Management Talk. It's been great to speaking to everyone today.
Thank you, Hawken, and thank you, Greg. This was quite intense. A lot of information running across Twitter. I will circle back and post a Twitter transcript as well as this podcast for people to listen on demand. Next week, please join the Global Product Management Talk again on Monday. We'll be talking about innovation, the result of the intersection of invention and value, with Jose Brioni. Thank you again to our sponsor, the Association of International Product Marketing and Management. Check them out at AIPMM.com for upcoming webinars and trainings. Thank you to our tweeters. A couple of comments were, the reality is that there's both a bit of both these days. Decentralized to collaborate, centralized for discipline. And thanks, Hawken, for touching upon a lot of very important issues that are quite current and relevant, specifically mentoring. I'm presenting a webinar with the AIPMM specifically about mentoring and how product managers should get mentored and how they can find mentors to increase their career path success. So thank you again. Please follow us on blogtalkradio.com/PRODMGMTPALK, and I will see you on Twitter. Thanks, Greg and Hawken.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Okay. Have a great week.